name is Nicole Pucci, and you're listening to Ralph Pucci, the podcast. For most of this season, Ralph and I were interviewing our artists and collaborators in our New York City space. But then, the coronavirus struck, and we were forced to adapt. We took a bit of time off to figure out how we wanted to continue to present this podcast to you in a safe and considerate way. We decided to use Zoom and to continue to have conversations with our artists and collaborators. I am pleased to share today's conversation with you. Ralph and I spoke with the incredible Paul Matu. Paul has been working with Pucci for years, and his work is so extraordinary because he doesn't fit into any one box. Paul is an artist in every sense of the word. He is a furniture designer, painter, and all-around creator. Paul is currently in Aix-en-Provence, and we were able to have this conversation with each other safely, socially distanced, each in our own corners of the world. We apologize that the sound is not perfect, but I assure you that Paul is so fascinating that the conversation makes up for any technological glitches that come from recording conversations thousands and thousands of miles apart with some very overwrought internet. Thank you for your continued support, and I hope you enjoy today's conversation.
Thank you both so much for taking the time to talk, especially now in this crazy pandemic that we're in. So we're all coming to you from different places. I'm here out on Long Island. Ralph is in Connecticut, and Paul is in X. Paul, tell us, how have you been since this started? You are, I know, at your country place. Tell us a little bit about how life has been this past month or so.
Yes. I mean, to tell you the truth, it's not a big change for me because, I mean, it's a big change in the sense that I'm staying a long time. When I come here, it's like 2-3 days, and I'm not really staying here in the room. I just work and sort out things. But I go, so I don't spend so much time. And the change is like I'm actually spending a lot of time in the studio. So that was quite amazing, actually. The great thing, it's so peaceful in the city. I can hear the bird outside. The light is beautiful. And I went through a lot of archives since I was here in the beginning. And I wanted to make space for me to move forward. And to move forward, of course, you have to sort out the past, I guess. Especially physically here, there is a lot of archives because it's... So I went through a lot of things. I've actually revisited great inspirations, enjoying the moment because in a way, this is very important. And in Aix-en-Provence, the city is very beautiful. And I have to stay here, so I better to enjoy whatever is here.
And where did you come from, Paul? New York, or did you come from India?
Actually, I was in India. I was there for a while because I was working on some projects, some order I had there. I had to visit some locations. And I was in my house, and I was actually about to go to New York, and suddenly something happened. Plane was canceled, and I went back home. And then suddenly, at this time, was like around the 21st of March. And then suddenly there was the lockdown also in Udaipur. So I was locked in the house for a couple of weeks, which also, again, is not to complain because the house is really beautiful. On the rooftop, the view became so fabulous. I could see the mountain again far away because since 10, 15 years at the house, it's been developing, growing the city like amazingly. I mean, it's good. It's like modernity going, but a lot of pollution, a lot of crazy traffic. And suddenly I could see far away, like those mountains. And in the morning, very early, we had the right to go out, like between 6 and 8 or 9 to shopping. But I would go with my motorcycle like 6 in the morning up in the hills, and it was so beautiful. Nobody, and beautiful birds singing. And so, I mean, as I said, we'd rather not have that happening, but since there is no way to avoid it.
Right. So you're enjoying the nature. Nature plays a big part in your outlook and in your vision.
Yeah, very important. I think it's very important to have a connections with nature. Peacefulness,
The sculpture, I know the first collection we did together of all the wood the shapes of the wood, you know, and I know when you paint, you're always painting horses, and it just seems like nature it plays a big part of inspiration.
This is where I grew up in France, in this countryside of France near Lyon. And the house of my parents was really in the surrounded by vineyard and field and woods. And so, yeah, I guess that was a big part of my life.
Yeah, but, I can see that.
Until I really wanted to.
Yeah, the many, many years. I think we've been friends for 30 and working for about, 20, 25 years. We met through Andre Putman.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yes.
How did you meet Andre?
This was when I came to Paris. I was in Los Angeles. I moved to Los Angeles after my study. I dreamed of Los Angeles. I was in a school in London, and then I was doing sketches. And a friend told me, Paul, your sketches kind of remind me of David Hockney. I didn't really know David Hockney. So I went through his book, and when I saw the image of Los Angeles, I said, I'm going there. I went there. And in the 80s, early 80s. And I met Michael Ray there. And then we moved to Paris in 85. And when we came to Paris, we had this fabulous opportunity. I mean, we had really some blessing. Michael, as being an American, had the open mind, made me revisit Paris, places that I take for granted. He would say, no, look at it twice. But again, this is not any building. There is some fabulous sculpture. There is, you know, when you grow up, you don't see anymore. I mean, you see, but you take for granted. Anyway, so when we had an amazing 400 square meter apartment, one floor with one bedroom we did whatever we wanted. And we got a lot of press. And then we had a house in Normandy, and we had created a little chair called Eyes that we showed last year at the Chateau Lacoste. And it was published in House and Garden. Andre Putman adored this little chair, this little piece. And so she asked to meet us, and we met at Café Flore. And then she said, I really want you to design something for my collection. And then we designed that collection called Chateau, as we were working on Chateau Marmont. And we got the inspiration, and then she took on the whole collection. And one day she said, I think you would like to go to New York and meet Ralph Pucci. And of course, we were very thrilled, and it's when it happened.
Yeah, great story and great memories, that's for sure. Andre was a big influence on your life and on mine. So let's talk about the Chateau Marmont a little bit. I mean, I know when you said you were in Los Angeles, and that's when the Chateau was starting to, I think it was just bought by Andre Balazs, right?
Yes. So that was in 1991. And with Michael Ray, we were traveling a lot. We had a lot of visibility out. We were doing this. At the time, we wouldn't call it so much interior architecture design. We were not really, we were more like sort of artists, poets, creating things. And I think Andre liked that idea for his Chateau Marmont. That was, and the first thing he gave us is the book with all the story of all the famous people who had stayed there. So, and Michael, being American from California, was very much passionate by that. So we designed, we stayed 2 months on and off, experimenting every room at the Chateau Marmont and designed the collection and did a model room. She saw the collection, and when Andre said, well, we love it, but we don't, it's not going to be possible. Andre said, I'm taking the collection, And then all the prototype went to Paris. And all our prototype from there were with Andre Putman. Some still in your showroom, like the Sister Margaret sofa, the case, Charles Foster Kane chairs.
Great pieces.
Yeah.
So. Great pieces. Well, they're timeless. You know, Paul, I really believe that your work was the seed for a lot of work that's happening today coming out of France. You know, your work is sculptural, work in nature, you work with bronze. I see a lot of the work coming out of France right now heavily influenced by you. I mean, it's gone on. They've done their own thing, but you were the seed.
It's inspiring. I always hope I can inspire. That big change for me, that big was I'm always like in every project we had to design particular pieces for the places, always custom pieces from where would come some collection out of it. And but in the 2003 around there, the commission for the liturgical furniture of one church in Aix-en-Provence, 17th century church called La Madeleine. And that was a fabulous opportunity. I mean, it was a contest, and my project went through because the goal was to use the most timeless material. So then I went for the lighting. My first and always dream was to work with Murano glass, which for me, glass was Murano and blown glass. So I developed this big chandelier Madeleine. I call it Madeleine. And I started to work with the bronze. At the time, I was going a lot to India also. So, I mean, things were coming from the best craftsmen in different parts of the world, from Italy, from France, from India, rock crystal. But then when this project accomplished and the church was open, 17th century church, the time of the Baroque. And I like Baroque because it's like a flow. It's no angle. It's things like started to, like the music would go, and but it's very structured, but it has this flow. So I came up with this idea of the Aria collection. And the idea in it was to use the bronze for how much I could stretch those lines I liked so much, like branches, without them breaking and elongate them. So I came up with all that collection with the very supple shapes. And that's how I started my relationship with the bronze craftsman.
That's an incredible collection. Like I said, it's timeless. Let's talk a little bit about the incredible show you had last year in the south of France, the Vineyard Art Foundation, Chateau Lacoste. Those of the people who are listening to this podcast that don't know, it's one of the great wonders of the world. It features the work of Alexander Calder, Louis Bourgeois, Andy Goldsworthy. The architecture on the grounds is done by Frank Gehry, Jean Nouvel, Tadeo Ando. And you had your show in the Renzo Piano Design Gallery. I was fortunate to be there, and it was one of the highlights of my career to be there with you to see the work. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. Yes, we had a very nice talk with Patrick McKillen, with the owner. And since I live around here, my sister lives very close there. We used to, since the beginning of Chateau Lacoste, since all the change, I've been going back and forth. Patrick McKillen had already purchased some of the furniture from my creation, and then had came this idea about this show. And so I call this show Still Motion, because for me it was an opportunity in this very minimal building of Renzo Piano that's connected, totally connected with nature, because the way it's been built is aligned with the vineyard, is aligned with the nature around, and it's still sort of in the earth. So it's very rooted. And so my idea was put together furniture from different collections, from different parts of the world that I had not seen together. Like I would go see my collection in Italy. In Italy, I would see, like in Milan Fair, we see ours in New York together. And in India, and suddenly everything together like that. And so I was very happy to see that energy that it bring, and just with no expectation, but have them connect together. And even for me to rediscover something about my creation by putting them in a different environment and putting them in conversation with each other in some ways.
Well, it was a fantastic show, and it was what an honor for you to be able to be shown there. Because if I remember correctly, when your exhibition went down, Basquiat's went up. So you were in great company. The people who have shown at the Chateau Lacoste are all the giants of design, of furniture, of art, of architecture.
Paul, you have done some really incredible projects. What project have you not yet done that would be a dream of yours to do?
Actually, I'm in discussion now with something that's kind of similar than Chateau. There's different things that I dream of. I would like, there's another project I really enjoyed very much that opened that door for me to that is this private museum I did in India. Very minimalistic, very contemporary, but the building existed. Even I really like, strip it down to the minimum. The thing would be really amazing for me is to work on building a new building that also connect to the existing ancient building, I mean, old building. And that would be, it's not really the World Hotel. I mean, I like the idea of Chateau Lacoste because in that sense, it's how it works. But like it being a space that reflects the way I like life. I like to connect with nature, but still like to connect with modernity and to beautiful lifestyle. I love to cook. I love good food. I love good life. And to create a space, hotel-like, where there is this this connection between art, nature, lifestyle, and where once we go in, we have a little bit unexpected experience, and that's always bring inspiration to us.
You spend a lot of time traveling, so you split your time between the US, France, and India. Besides travel, what else inspires you?
Listening to music, I like very much. Just sometimes just sit down on my nice speaker and listen. I like rock music. I like, I'll start like this. The morning I play about music, and then around when it later, early afternoon, I play some jazz. I like to play some jazz. And maybe, I mean, it evolved like that. I like very much that. I like lots of walking. When I'm in Udaipur, I like to go ride my motorcycle outside in the villages and discover new places. I like to edit, to do little videos. I love that also.
Seems like you're endlessly inspired. That sounds phenomenal. So thinking about someone who's just trying to enter the field, obviously it's a difficult industry to be in, but what advice would you give to someone who's trying to make their life as an artist?
Ah, okay. Well, I think already I wouldn't approach it and saying that it's something difficult because already you putting a boundary and a barrier. I think is I would say first advice, don't think it's difficult. Just think it's going to be beautiful and you're going to enjoy. And I think you have to do things that you like. Really like what you do, but not trying to please anyone, you know. I'm not saying to be to aggress, but I think it's more important to spend energy to do things you like. And I think things, it's really difficult for me because I did all that when natural. So I would say just let it be, let it come. Don't get too much of the knowledge in front of you, too much of the what you hear around, you know, those ready-made sentences, like this is going to, that does not happen, that, you know, like be free.
Well, how old were you when you knew you wanted to go into design? When art, how old were you when you knew art influenced you and touched you?
I think I was like 13 years old, I think. 13, in around there,
right.
I was in high school, and I went to actually a friend of mine. I always was very inspired because at home my father was sculpting, and my mother was also very creative in the kitchen, in the cooking, in the creating, in furniture, in taking care of the house. Always very keen on that. So I guess this, and there was books on art, and there was, you know, furniture were very, we had like the Florence Nol dining room, everything was some reproduction of Miro on the wall, and so I guess that was there, that was inspiring me. Yeah, that was always wanting to do. Like, when I was really a kid, I was going to my friend home, and I was always giving advice, you should do like that, you know, different idea. And sometimes my parents would say, well, you can't really tell people all the time, like they should change things. but I was a passion. But I wouldn't say it was interior design or design, because the word didn't exist then. I needed to create space to use anything around me to express my creativity.
That's what I find interesting about you, Paul. You know, you didn't come at it as, say, an interior designer. You come at it at all angles, you know, a sculptor, a painter, cooking influences you, music. You come at it at all different ways. And that's what I think makes you a true original.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. One of the beautiful moments I had was when I did this painting of horses. It's like I had them in my soul, in me, and then I had to put them on the wall. It's no question. I never question as I go through my career. It would be maybe like advice. Oh, is that going to work? Is that going to sell? Is that going to, does that meet the market? Anything like that. I have no clue. I was going with the flow, with the feeling, and I was a bit crazy, because when I decided to just leave for Los Angeles, then go back to Paris, and always things worked out.
You certainly never followed trends, which makes sense, because that's what you're saying. And you certainly went with what was in your soul at the time and what you wanted to express. And that's, you're an original.
Yeah, even when I start to know too many things, like I try to forget it. I just don't want it to become like all the knowledge. I like to leave it behind me. Like, and then I like it to come naturally. If I start a project, how can I say? Like, even I know by the time with some technique, with carpenters, the practicality thing. I try to forget everything, and when I go, I just decide what I want without filtering from what I know. And then I discover things, and then we all discover things with the client or with the craftsman, master craftsman.
Paul, how do you enjoy working in my sculpture studio? I know we worked together on that for about a year, and we certainly like the results. We can continue to work when you get back to New York, but you want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, definitely. This is the moment there. This, for me, is the time just doesn't exist. It's bringing from a sketch, and your sculpture, Michael, is amazing. And working with you and how you have the understanding. And what also working with you was always, I think it's been fulfilling, is you never question there's a trust. There's a trust, and I think it's also your success, is to not interfere with the project. And once you... So that's what happened with the sculpture. And no, I really enjoy. I just love it so much in the sculpture. And because what's important in the sculpture sometimes is just like a millimeter or centimeter, a little bit on the... I mean, you know it, when we work around the sculptural leg, and there is no mathematics anymore. There is no theory. There is just like... feeling, there's just moment, and one really has to go with that, and then it's irreplaceable. You cannot do that with a 3D drawing with it's just has to be. And I mean, this is life. It's so important to share moments like that. And I think this comes out after in the furniture. There's a life to it. It's like that still motion I'm talking about when I saw, like when in Chateau Lacoste, I saw the table, our D table, and I put it outside, like on the grass with the vineyard around. It's just suddenly, it was going to work. And no, it's just fantastic, Ralph, really.
No, I know the sculpture studio is, I see you come to life there when I just see the energy, and it's so exciting. You know, we certainly, like you said, we don't work in the 3Ds and the computers. You know, our heroes are Brancusi and Giacometti and Jean Arp and Henry Moore. And it's just so exciting to see you and some of my other designers when they get into that studio, what's able to come out of it.
Yes, we also discover, it's discovering things. I work with like some Italy, some very precise, but almost this is pushing me sometimes, this precision is pushing me out. But this sculpture studio is opening space in front of me. And I mean, also where it's located. We have like the Empire State Building right in front, between the sky and New York, which has a kid since a kid, a dream being in New York. And then it's really wonderful. And yeah, definitely.
You have had a lot of phenomenal collaborations with Pucci, and I'm sure there will be many more to come. But before we wrap up, any final words from either you, Ralph, or you, Paul?
I'd just like to say that, again, that Paul is, from listening to this interview, you can see that Paul's really coming at it as an artist. And, you know, it's not like he's a furniture designer. He's coming at it, and you see the different influences that make him unique. And I really enjoyed talking to you, Paul. I've known you for 30 years. I enjoyed this podcast because I think it's clearer to our audience that the people who I gravitate towards are not just furniture designers. They're people who are influenced by all the arts, music being very important, and sculpture being very important, and architecture, and photography, and film. And that's what makes you unique. That's what makes a lot of the other designers that I've met over the years through Andre Putman and you that makes it unique.
What I can say as conclusion with working with you together, when I'm in New York, it's one of my pleasure during the day, working, taking a break, is go and walk through your space. I feel at home. I feel, and the music playing, the jazz, and it feels fantastic. I can just go and sit, try my chaise, take a few photos. We talk, but we don't have even to, we talk work, talk project, just be there. And that's really so important. It's what's happening in your space. It really, the phenomenon, really
great.
Fantastic.
You know, Paul, we just finished that show in Los Angeles, just came down last week, and now Still Motion, the show that traveled from Chateau Lacoste to New York to Los Angeles, my Los Angeles showroom. It's now has moved, and it still looks incredible. So hopefully when this ban on traveling is over and you can get to United States, you'll have to get to Los Angeles to see the installation. It's really brilliant.
Fantastic. I'm glad to be here and that we can do that. Thank you. Absolutely. And Nicole, this like, fantastic. Be part of this family of creation as a superb. Thank you,
Paul.
Thank you so much, Paul. Okay. And again, we hope that we're able to see you before too long. And please definitely check out Paul's work in any of our three locations, New York, LA, or Miami. His work is phenomenal, and his partnership with Pucci has been much appreciated. So thank you both so much for your time and for this conversation. Thank you for listening to today's conversation featuring the incredible Paul Mattu. To learn more about Paul, visit our website at www.ralphpucci.com or our Instagram at ralphpucciint. You can also check out Paul's site, www.paulmattu.net, or Paul's Instagram at paulmattudesign.
Thanks again, and we hope to share more soon.